Well, we got a good show for you today, neighbor. We're talking about seeds. Why do some seeds work for you, germinate, and grow well, and why do some do not? We're going to cover that all today, give you some great insight on seeds, the good, the bad, the ugly. Welcome to the Row by Row Gardening Show, the best dadgum gardening show on the internet, where we talk about gardening, a little bit of cooking, and growing your own food. Now sit back and enjoy. Well, we got Tracy here with us. With, if y'all know my friend Tracy here, she is the seed guru. All things seeds, I go to Tracy. Been in the industry a long time.
I'm getting old.
We was talking about just a little bit earlier.
We were 1997.
Woo, yeah. Been around the block a time or two.
Yeah.
We know all the juicy gossip on all the seeds.
So.
Anyway, we're going to talk about seeds today. But first of all, let's get into a couple of little housekeeping things here. We got a little bit of turmeric left.
Oh,
a little bit
nice.
Of turmeric. We're selling turmeric this year.
That's cool.
Organic turmeric.
Wow.
And we've sold a bunch of, got a little bit left. We'll be selling probably for the next couple of weeks. So if you haven't got your turmeric, get it in. You can plant this stuff all the way up probably into the 1st of June there. So you got plenty of time. Also, sweet potato slips have started shipping. And we still got tomatoes, pepper plugs, in and out of inventory. Peppers, we'll have more this week. I know we was out last week. We got plenty of tomatoes. So for the next 2-3 weeks, we got plenty of plugs available. And I can't think of anything else. It's springtime.
Yes.
Yep.
Weather's
warm
getting
outside.
Nice. Work's starting.
It's my favorite time of the year.
It is.
So let's get into seeds, Tracy, because I know this is an interesting subject for you. So what, and we have this, you know, the public really has a hard time understanding because they don't know a lot about seeds.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's still almost a scary topic. And I can tell you, once people find out what I do, right, they're like, well, tell me why my seeds didn't work. And that's a loaded question, right?
Had one of them conversations
sure
this morning. Yeah.
Yeah.
I have these people that call in or email in and tell me our seeds so-and-so when they get it. I said, we just planted 10,000 of them and they all worked out wonderful. So
yeah.
It's not always the seed issue, although sometimes it is.
Sometimes it is, yeah.
So sometimes it's a growing environment. So it could be several different. Man, it's a conversation that I go, it could take me 30 minutes to go down through
right.
a checklist to say, okay, are you doing this wrong? Are you doing that right? And all this.
Right.
Most time it can be a moisture issue. It can be a medium issue they're growing in or a moisture issue with their soil, a heat issue. Who knows?
Yeah.
What is seed germination? Because we get, people don't understand. They do, but they don't. But what is seed germination?
So the actual germination is like the very beginning stage when basically the seed comes alive, right? So, and it depends on every seed, no matter what kind, is going to need some very basic things. It's just that those things vary then with the type of seed. So you're always going to need moisture because the moisture is what activates the seed, right, to then grow. You're going to need some range of a temperature of conditions, cool conditions, warm conditions, very warm conditions.
Could be both.
Right? You need oxygen.
Mm-hmm.
So this is where the soil comes into play,
mm-hmm.
depending on how aerated it is, right? What kind of medium you're planting in, so then how much air is available for the seed. And then light is the fourth one. So at some point, all seeds need light to germinate them grow, but then some seeds actually in that very, very beginning stage of germination actually need dark. So that's another thing you have to make sure.
Some seeds, an example of that would be some of the herbs.
Yes.
Actually have to have light to germinate.
Yeah, so that's why on the back of a seed packet, right, usually you have enough information on the back of a seed packet to get you going, but that doesn't mean you then don't have to look up a few other things, you know, to get going. So
herbs are probably the most complex to get germination out of.
Yeah.
That's what I found.
For a lot of different reasons, right?
Mm-hmm.
And again, though, because so herbs are so different. So every single crop that somebody might try to grow is going to have a different requirement. That's why I always say it's so useful to have a journal.
Mm-hmm.
Or I'm an Excel spreadsheet person, so I have a spreadsheet cheat sheet.
Right.
Right? So something like that that keeps track of all the different requirements, because you can't, you know, start a tomato seed with a cucumber seed, with a kale seed, with a lettuce seed, all at the same temperature, all at the same
length. And expect them to emerge.
And expect them to all do well.
So germination is, there's such thing as seed standard laws or seed laws that dictate germination.
Yes. So the USDA has the Federal Seed Act. So they have very strict laws that tell us all what we can and cannot do when it comes to selling seeds. And so we produce seeds and we have to go through these, we have to follow these same laws and standards that the government sets before we can sell the seeds to you. And then you have to do the exact same thing and make sure you're meeting all those standards before you sell the seeds to the public.
So there's a minimum on different varieties or different, yeah, I guess different types of seeds. Mm-hmm. There's different germination laws that has, germination has to meet different requirements for different types of seeds.
Right, and what's really helpful is when the company, like us or you, takes that standard that the government sets and says, okay, that's the absolute minimum for this seed to do what it has to do, but our standard is going to be higher than that.
Yeah,
right?
Right.
So the standard for, I don't know, peppers or tomatoes, I can't remember exactly, but let's say it's 75. Okay, well, we're going to set ours higher, mm-hmm. 85, 90.
Right.
You can choose to set yours
right.
even higher.
Right.
Because, again, that's just one element of a very complex process to make sure that the grower has success, the customer has success. So why not make sure they're of the highest quality and set your own standards higher?
So there are companies out there, and when I'm leading to this, some of the cheaper seed companies out there that meet those minimum requirements,
right.
they're meeting the law there.
Right.
So
right.
And let's just use tomatoes, for example.
Okay.
If you've got a 70% germ mm-hmm. or 75%, that might meet the federal minimum standards for that. So it's legally okay for them to sell
right.
that seeds.
Right.
However, your company, Cicada, got a higher standard than
right.
that. And then it comes to us,
right.
and we got a higher standard than that.
Right.
So some of your better seed companies, now we're not the only one out there that does this.
No, but it's good to make sure that whoever you
yeah,
work with.
Yeah, there is a handful of companies out there that have higher standards than what the actual minimum seed laws are,
right.
and we're one of them.
Yeah.
And it's not easy to do.
No, it's not. And there are laws about how often you have to test
mm-hmm.
to make sure that's, you know, within
that
range.
Now, that being said, that is different from federal. That is a state law.
Yes, every state. And
this is confusing.
Yeah. It's all confusing. And then someone like you, you're not just selling seeds into Georgia.
Right.
Like, you have to make sure you're meeting all the standards for all the states as well.
So the example of that is Alabama may be on 12-month re-germ testing,
mm-hmm.
and then Georgia's on 9 months.
Yeah.
So we have to
meet
all
the... So you have to have the lowest common denominator and make
right.
sure you're meeting everybody.
And
the states are also different, and it's kind of a different subject, so we won't go down this, but on... certain seeds can't be sold in certain states because they're considered like noxious weeds. So you
right.
have to make sure, you know, that those things are met too. So it's a very complicated process.
There are times I have to make the walk out to the dumpster and throw bags of seeds away.
Yeah.
I mean, they are.
Yeah.
I've done that a few times. I normally take that upon myself. Me or Cameron, one, which is the over-the-seed operation
yeah.
here, normally take that walk out to the dumpster mm-hmm. and throw it away. And it's a good reminder of us that we didn't necessarily do something right there. But it happens.
Yeah.
And the thing about it is, when it does happen, I tell them this, get away from them.
Yeah.
Throw them away. We don't give them away, we throw them away.
Yeah. yeah.
And get out of them. So it is tough. Now, when a seed pops out,
yeah.
That's the germination process is over with. Once it's
right.
emerge.
Yeah, so the germination process, so it first thing it does is send down, what, the radical, which becomes
I'm good with that.
The root, which becomes
mm-hmm.
the root, right? And then it's going to pop up.
Right.
So it goes down, then it goes up. And then it pops out these two little cup leaves, usually, is what they look like. And those aren't actually, we don't call those leaves.
Right.
We call them cotyledons
mm-hmm.
because really what it is, it's just, I call it like the, it's the to-go food packet,
right?
right? It's really just the food
right.
that will keep, and then out of that grows what we call the true leaves, which are the leaves that look like the mature leaves on that plant. And those leaves are the ones that will photosynthesize because those first little ones are just,
right.
just the food. They don't do that.
But
so.
Once that has happened, once you see that plant.
Yeah. root and shoot.
The germination process is
over
with. So the germination rate that you may see on a packet or whatever, that's completely, at that point, that's over with.
Yes.
It has
nothing to do with anything past that.
So then we can move into something we call plant vigor. And this really gets muddies to water a little bit.
Yeah, because it has also like, it's not necessarily, plant vigor is not necessarily a next stage, but the pure germination process of the root going down, the shoot going up, and when you see what a germination rate is, when we do testing and the customer would see on a seed packet, that's germination. Then what we test for is vigor, and the vigor is, well, let's just say that seed did not get the optimal conditions. What does it do then? Does it germinate and that's it? It never does anything else? Does it take longer? Does that process suddenly turn into 15 days instead of 7? So under stressful conditions, measuring how easy, how long, you know, what the conditions are for that plant then to go into that next stage, that's what vigor is.
Mm-hmm. Now, vigor is not nothing that's mandated testing.
Correct.
It's something that we do above and beyond.
Right.
Yeah.
Because you have to assume
right.
that not everybody is going to be very precise and look up precisely what temperature range and precisely, you know, what light level. So we want to make sure that not only does the seed immediately germinate perfectly in a perfect condition, but that if there are any other conditions that seed is exposed to and then has to germinate in those poorer conditions or suboptimal conditions, right? And then afterwards, will you still have success the majority of the time? So a vigor rating that's high is also really important, even though that's, you're not going to see that. That's like a behind the scenes. Yeah.
This is the whole point I'm getting to here. Is we see a lot of seeds out there in the marketplace. Now, we've got competitors that sell seed packs for $2 a seed pack. Mm. Or you may sell them for $1 a seed pack somewhere. But there's a huge difference. And that's the point we're trying to draw today is there's a huge difference in the quality of the seeds. That's where you see cheap seeds out there and you see higher priced seeds out there because there's a dramatic difference in there. And I don't think the consumer understands that sometimes. There's a difference out there. The OP market, as we call open pollinated, or some people could call them, they can be heirlooms.
They can be, but not always.
Not always, right? That's what I tell about. An heirloom is always open pollinated, but open pollinated is not always heirloom.
Right.
So there is a huge difference out there in the quality of these seeds. So when people purchase these things, as long as they understand what they're getting and inform consumers what we need. Now, do we sell open pollinated seeds? Yes.
Yes.
Do we sell some heirloom seeds? Yes. A lot of times they can be problematic. We have a hard time in-house managing those type seeds because of the quality. It can be a nightmare for us. And when we buy seeds from some companies like Cicada or whoever, it costs more money.
Because there's a lot more that goes into
it. There's a lot more that gets into it. And that's the point we're trying to make today. Is all these testings that goes into it that we don't see with these other seeds right there. There's a place for both of them. But there's definitely a huge difference in the quality of those seeds right there. Now, let's talk about some of the things that we will see in some of the hybrid seeds that we don't see in the open pollinated seeds, such as virus testing.
Yes. Yes. So that's a whole other layer. So after we produce seed, a seed crop, it comes in, it gets cleaned, right? So let's go back a minute. I want to talk about that. So there's also measuring things like purity. So you're going to see purity in there and you're going to see, I forgot the name, the term. Anyway, so we're not only testing for germ and we're testing for vigor. We're also testing for how much of this bag is seed and how much of it is inert matter. Mm-hmm. Or weeds, because there's a lot of cleaning that has to go through mm-hmm. to get that as mm-hmm. clean as possible. And then you're going to do testing to make sure how much of this is true to type, right? Mm-hmm. How much of these seeds are going to come up all the same. It's going to be the right thing. It's going to look all the same and all that type of thing. So you've got all that testing first. And then once you have that clean, tested, viable, rated good seed, then we're going to look at things like testing for pathogens. Mm-hmm. And so this I sort of equate to thinking about it just like you would humans, right? When we're sick and we go to the doctor and they're like, give me an antibiotic. Well, is it bacterial or is it viral? Is that going to do anything? And where did it come from? So that's the same kind of questions we're going to be asking. We're doing testing for seed for pathogens.
Seed-borne pathogens can have an effect on the crop that you're growing.
Yes, which are different than food-borne pathogens. Mm-hmm. So I get this question a lot too. Well, do you test for things like E. coli and Salmonella? Those are food-borne pathogens, food-borne illnesses. There are separate pathogens that tend to live on seeds waiting for their chance to wreak havoc. So those are the type of things we're going to make sure that we're testing on for seeds.
So I have a little bit of a sample here I want to show everybody.
Okay.
So this right here is a heirloom open pollinated seed, and we're going to bust it out here and we're going to put it on the table and give everybody an idea of the quality. So we see this, and a lot of these open pollinated seeds that we get in.
Can I push around?
Sure. will be trashy. That's just normal.
Yep. So right. Yeah. Yep. Because how many times you run something through a mill,
mm-hmm.
every one of those things costs a certain amount of money, right? Every run through a mill. Wow, look at that.
Yep. So we have an heirloom open pollinated seed right here, and then we have invisible seed
wow.
right here. Now, the difference in this seed has been cleaned a lot more. Mm-hmm. It has a lot less trash in it. Mm-hmm. It's been tested a lot more, but also it's been, the seed has been, took that felt layer off of it right there.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it's easier.
Like rubbed.
Yep.
Oh, yep. Mm-hmm. Wow, that's nice.
Yep. So this is a cicada seed.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
That was not planned. I did not know that. I swear.
Yeah. So this is the kind of seed, but the quality of the seed is so much more. Now this seed costs a lot more than that.
Yes.
So it went through a lot more of a process to get to our place than yeah. this did. So
I was going to make a comment about that because I hear that a lot. Oh, that costs so much. Okay. Does it in a packet of seed? Because how many chances? I've used seed all my life. You get a packet of seed. Are you really going to use 20 tomato seeds one time? If you fail,
yep.
does it matter that much?
Right.
In the scheme of things, the price is not
significant. Very small portion of
to get what you pay for.
And all the work, not counting the cost, but all the work you put in to take care of that plant to have a good plant.
Yeah.
And the worst viruses are probably the way to talk about this right here. Mm-hmm. You baby a tomato along and it gets just right ready to produce and you grow up one day and it's wielded over from a virus.
Yeah.
But if you had a virus resistant variety, mm-hmm. then you still make tomatoes mm-hmm. and you put all that work and your hard work and your soul into this one and it's just gone. So.
Because that's two different things really too, mm-hmm. right? It's been bred to resist certain things and then it's been tested to make sure that other pathogens are not on the seed itself.
Right.
Are living, ready to exploit it.
Now, within seeds, especially with the hybrids, mm-hmm. there are different processes that can go into seeds. Let's talk about prime.
Okay.
Let's talk about pelleted.
Okay.
Because prime seeds are a huge interest to me and I think there's a place for that.
They are. There's a place, but I'm always cautious.
But it doesn't lend itself well to the way we do business now.
Right, exactly. So priming really did come about for the commercial world.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very self-explanatory. Priming primes the seed to get ready to do what it's going to do. So when I was talking about the germination process earlier, right, the seed gets, the first part is the water. Mm-hmm. It's getting the moisture that it needs to soak it all up and get ready to pop, right? So priming adds that moisture. It adds the higher temperature usually. So it instigates germination, but then right before that happens, it stops, pulls it back, cools it off, dries it out, and that's it. That's a prime seed. So then that seed goes into a packet and goes to somebody and they sow it and it's already brought right up to the edge. So that germination process is going to happen a lot faster, a lot easier, and be a lot more stable, and it's ready to go. So that is a huge advantage.
One of the biggest advantages, of course, we do that with tomato seeds.
Yeah.
But one of the biggest advantages I've seen was that rosemary seeds.
Yeah, for things that are super hard or take really long time to germinate. Like some things take 30 days to germinate.
Right.
So priming them, you know, cuts that time way back. It cuts the chances of failure way back. One caveat. This is why think about it. You've opened that can of worms, right? You've got that thing ready to go. It's sitting there waiting. What does that mean? That means if you don't plant it and you don't let it do its thing, It's going to say, forget it. You had a chance. So it doesn't last.
Your seed saving things out the window.
Yes,
this one right here.
Yes.
Prime seeds were wonderful. I'm a big proponent of prime seeds. They got to be bought fresh.
Yes.
And they got to be used immediately.
Yes.
Because if they will not store, they'll lose how much? 80% within a year?
Oh, yeah. So nothing should be saved after that year if they're primed.
Right.
So, but again, how does that work in a situation? You serving your customers would make sure that your packages have only the amount of seed that you think they could reasonably use in a year, so they're not wasting it, and you're not wasting it, and it costs more of something you're not going to use, right?
And don't plan on saving them.
And don't save
them. This whole idea of saving seeds. Now, the commercial farmers, it works wonderful for them because they buy what they need.
Right in the ground.
They plant it in the ground, boom.
Yep.
So that's one reason you see some of these commercial guys look like they're doing so much better than you, because they're using a different type of seed,
basically.
Yeah. Pelleted seed. Now, we can have pelleted and prime seed.
You can.
But that's
so confusing.
But pelleted seed within itself is just one thing.
Yeah, so pelleting is adding a coating around the seed that's round. So it takes this flat little thing and it makes a tiny little round pill out of it. And that, therefore, all of the seeds are this exact same tiny little circle. And they all roll around like crazy if you drop them. And what that does primarily is it just makes them easier to handle. It makes them easier to put into any kind of seeder that you would use, and that type of thing. So it's pure straight pelleting isn't doing anything for the emergence of the seed or how the seed is going to evolve or behave. It's just making it easier to handle.
Most of the time, that's a clay coating, some type of inert clay coating. Mm-hmm. And it can maybe delay germination just a little bit because you got
to
sleuth that clay off of it.
Right. So if moisture is the first thing that's got to get to the seed for it to germinate, that moisture's got to first go into the clay, get that out of the way, and then go into the seed. So you are adding a little bit of time.
Right. And then we have coating. And coating is a different beast altogether because coating can be some type of chemical.
It can be. It can be a coat. Sometimes coating is very similar to pelleting in that it adds a slick coating around the seed, but the seed shape stays the same.
Mm-hmm.
So again, it can just be about handling, but then it can also add things to it. So a coating can give you an opportunity to add things to fight pathogens,
mm-hmm.
or things to help the seed grow better. So, I mean, it can be a lot of anything. If bacteria is a problem on this crop, if, you know, viruses are a problem on this crop, whatever, the fungi is a big one. So, if whatever the problem is, you could coat it with things that will help that problem to help it produce
better.
Or
it could be just an inert coating.
Or it can just be a coating that makes it. Yeah, it is.
To the next step, treated seed. Because we get this one a lot, and I've got my opinions on treated seed. It may be a little different from yours, but we'll hash it out. So treated seeds are treated with something to theoretically benefit that seed.
Right.
And you mentioned it could be a fungicide, which is most of the seeds are treated with fungicides.
Yes.
But there are some biologicals going on nowadays
that
can be done, and it can also be done with insecticide. Now, I'm not aware of any other treatment besides insecticide, biologicals, and fungicides.
I'm not either.
Okay.
Yeah.
So let's cover all three of those. The fungicide treatment, and for the most part, we don't sell treated seeds. We sell some treated seeds. I really wish we could sell more, but I feel like it's a customer is not educated about the treatments out there.
Or maybe a little bit scared of it.
And they should. There's a reason for that. But let's talk about each one of them. Let's talk about fungicides first.
Okay.
We got Thyram. We got four or five different major, and you see this a lot of corn.
Yeah.
But now
you see it when it's a color. So how do you know it's a color?
That's right.
Right.
And most of these, in my book, is a benefit for that plant. There, what you will find is just about all your farmers or your commercial market growers want treated seed because they add a benefit to that seed.
Yeah.
Fungicides, for example.
Huge, huge benefit. But it's about personal preference. So it is good to decide, do I want this, knowing the benefits? Am I okay going down that route? If I am, then yes, it's very beneficial.
Mm-hmm.
Personally, I do both. Sometimes, depending on the crop, if I know it's going to be a problem, if I know my area, I'm almost guaranteed to, you know, get the disease, and I want it to have some help, then I will use treated seed. I'm not going to get it and rub it all over myself,
right?
You know?
Right.
But
if you got small children, you want to take
lick it.
You got precautionary to that. Make them wash your hands or whatever. But in my book, fungicides are beneficial.
Yeah.
And I don't have a problem with using those loans, people, or the toxicity of these fungicide treatments are very, very low.
Yeah. And you always know what you have. Yep. You know you have a raw seed over here that looks like this.
Right.
And you have a seed over here that's got the shiny blue or shiny green or shiny orange coating on it.
Now, the next one's biologicals. We don't care any seeds with biologicals. That's kind of a new thing.
It is a new thing. I like this idea. I don't know much about it. I'm actually meeting with somebody next week that does this from the Netherlands. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to try to learn a little bit more about it. But yeah, there's a lot of instances that I think because it works with soil to increase the healthy organisms and to create like a symbiotic relationship, sort of like inoculation with beans. That's another example, right? So yeah, I think there's a lot of potential there. And so again, something like that is treated. So we have to be really good at educating the public of what treated means in a particular instance, because you know, it could be that a grower or a customer who wants to not use treated seed would be okay with that because it's not chemically treated.
Right. And the next one is the insecticides. Now, this is where I got a little bit of my issues with. So most of the seed treatments are done with a neonicotinoid class of chemistry.
Yeah.
That's where I draw the line. Now, you may see us carrying a treated seed with a fungicide or biological. I'm not opposed to that. Where I draw the line is insecticide.
So we're on the same page.
We're on the same page. Okay, good deal. These neonicotinoids are the largest class of chemistry as far as insecticides used in the world.
Yeah.
Now, they've got a mode of action that is off the chain, what they can do. But I have a problem with the way they work through the plant, where they're ingested into the plant, into the xylem, and move forward. So, therefore, I choose not to sell it to the customer. I think the home gardener or the person that's trying to grow their own food for the simple reason trying to be healthier or do the right thing should stay away from the neonicotinoids.
But I think also to have choices for the other treatments.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Natural or otherwise.
And I think that's where people like us have failed, is not given enough education on the biological and on the fungicide treatments out there.
Yeah.
So my whole point here is don't necessarily be scared of some of those. Be willing to adapt some of the treated seeds, but we understand which ones you're dealing with
because they're
not all good. Which leads me into the next one, organic growers. So now, organic grower cannot use thioram or fungicide treated unless it's a biological.
Right. That's correct.
But they can use possibly the biologicals. We don't know yet, but I'm assuming they're going to be organically.
Right. Seeds. Yeah. So that's the other thing. There can be treated seeds that are treated with organic things.
Sure.
So they're still okay.
Right. So let's move into organic seeds because we get this a lot here and we got friends that sell organic seeds. Now, first of all, if you want to get organic seeds, that's okay. But understand what the difference is. The difference in a organic seed versus a non-organic seed, now let's throw treatment out the window here. That's not talking about treatments. The only difference is, you correct me if I'm wrong, is the way it was grown.
The seed crop was grown.
The seed crop was grown.
Mm-hmm.
That is, you cannot look at a seed that's untreated and tell me whether it's organic or not.
That is absolutely correct. Can I add something to that?
Sure.
This is a misconception I hear a lot,
mm-hmm.
is that the assumption is that if you're going to choose a hybrid seed, that it couldn't be organic. That is absolutely false. There are organic hybrid seeds.
And this is what most people don't understand. But the reason when you go into the grocery store and you buy an organic vegetable, I can almost certainly guarantee it was a hybrid. The way the organic growers are successful is by growing good organic disease-resistant varieties.
Correct. Now, I don't want to create this big problem, but I'm also going to throw out there the truth, too, about organic produce. A lot of organic produce has not only been produced by using a hybrid seed, but is produced by using untreated seed, not organic seed.
Mm-hmm.
And that goes back to the organic seed law. So, again, here comes the USDA. You know, here comes everybody regulating everything from the federal level. So there are very strict guidelines. The guidelines currently state that somebody growing an organic crop must grow it from organic seed unless
I knew we were
that seed is not available organically, then they must grow it using untreated seed. So not treated with any of the chemicals and things we just talked about. So in the United States, organic production of seed to a level that's able to supply the growers that grow food for us, even smaller truck farmers, is low. It's not there yet. There's not enough organic seed production to cover all different kinds of what the customer wants, right?
Right.
So in those cases, they depend on untreated seed. So raw, nothing on it, you know, no treated.
Right.
But anyway, it's still organic at the end of the day, the produce.
Right. And I guess we get this into a lot. If you want to buy organic seed, now that's that's your own personal preference, whether you're going to do that. The chemical is not passed, any chemicals are not passed along that seed. So when I asked a friend of mine, I don't know that you know Jim Garrison. Do you know Jim?
I know that name.
Jim has been in the organic, he was one of the fathers of the organic movement. Mm-hmm. He lives in Maine. A good friend of mine.
Yeah, I know.
So I asked Jim one time, because I love to talk organics with Jim. If I ever got an organic question, he's my go-to. Mm-hmm. I said, Jim, why would somebody want to buy organic seeds? And he told me this question made a lot of sense. He says, if you're buying organic seeds, your goal should be to promote the organic practices of the way that seed crop was grown.
And I would add, what you're also, it's a statement about your beliefs and what you want. So the other thing it does is when you're buying an organic crop, you are buying a crop that was grown, hopefully, using methods that are going to help the soil and help the environment of that farmland.
Right.
So that is like an ethics kind of choice, not a performance kind of choice.
But it has nothing to do with the seed.
Nothing to do with seed. It's not a performance issue.
Yeah, so anyway, glad we got that out of the way. That's a big one that comes up all the time.
It is.
Organics, people don't understand what they're buying. It's not necessarily any difference in the seed.
Yeah, no.
So, but if it's upon you to really promote the organic industry and everything, then by all means do it, because that's basically what
there's
you're doing.
There's room for it all.
Yeah.
But as long as you understand what they all are.
All right, so next thing we'll move on to is this little something called the All-American Selection.
Oh, okay. Boy, that was quite a quiz you just put me through. Woo, I was sweating. You said seeds. Anyway, okay, changing topics. All-American Selections. Ooh, I know what I want to talk about here.
So this is something that we became a part of a few years ago.
Yes.
We're going to throw up on the screen right here what it looks like when you look at an All-American Selections, when you're looking at one of their seeds.
Okay.
You see this emblem right here.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
That means that an organization that is comprised of all different levels of companies within the horticulture and agriculture industry, including breeders, people who produce seed, people who sell seed, people that grow, universities, botanical gardens, all these types of entities have gotten together. And we agree to look at what's new and great out there.
And you say we because you've been an ASS judge.
I was an ASS judge, yeah, for years, for vegetables and for flowers and for bedding plants. There's all different categories. And all across the United States, these new varieties of flowers and vegetables are sent out before they ever go commercial to the public. They're not available to the public. And we, the judges, me past tense, all get to test them in their own environments. So if you're a test garden, you get to test it in Georgia at the same time somebody's testing it in Maine at the same time California coast. And everybody judges them all season, scores them in these very rigorous score systems. And then all that information is tallied. And in the end, you know, there are thresholds that have to be met for varieties being unique, different, new to the market, and perform over a wide area. And that all the judges liked, you know, so much about them in all these different places that they deserve this emblem.
So when they're trialed against two or three of the varieties that's real similar.
Yes, so they're new. Nobody's ever seen them. So there's a committee that chooses what's the best thing out there in this category. What would this be going up against, you know, to a consumer who wants to look at this and decide whether they're going to buy or not. So they're tested against the standards.
So when somebody sees this emblem on a seed pack, and if you're looking online at seeds, it gives you reassurance that it was tested in a real life environment and it came out on top.
Yeah, exactly.
Because they don't all come out on top.
No, they don't.
So there's a lot
of... I'll just say, Cicada has been very, very fortunate in having a lot of winners in this, but that certainly doesn't mean... There have been a lot of instances, I'll say, where we've entered something into this and they didn't make it.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
That's part of the process.
Yeah.
So you can be assured that it's been trialed. Now we have regional winners.
Yes.
And we have
that's
national
right.
winners.
We do. So, you know, it behooves you to look at the regional winners for wherever you are and then understanding that the national winners, you can suggest to your cousin out in California.
Right. And regional difference to me is huge. And I give you one example. I've been down this road. onions. So what works with onions here in the South won't work for somebody.
Well, that's true. Like if an onion's entered, right, do I really care if a short day onion does well in Pennsylvania? It's not going to. So like that's irrelevant. So yeah, that should be a regional winner.
Yeah. Speaking of All-American selections.
Yes. That's why I got all excited. Sakata just has a brand new winner that we were able to announce. The first ever purple stemmed and headed broccoli. So it's Purple Magic. And you're going to get you already carry it. You're the first person to pick it up. Thank you very much.
We're going to put it on the screen right here.
And we've got new information from testing we did. It's super high in anthocyanins and super high in polyphenols, which are things that are really good for you. Cancer fighting, inflammation fighting. And you don't have to eat a lot of it. You're like 5 florets to get the benefits of like a glass of wine or
and
something else.
And what's really unique about it is the stem.
It's the stem. The stem is all purple. So it has all that nutritional content packed in the stems just as much as in the florets because of its purple color. And it's really pretty.
It is. It's an amazing one. There it is right there. So we've covered a lot.
We have.
Seeds. Why are they a difference between those cheap seeds that you buy, that you see out there, versus higher priced seeds? There's a huge difference out there, and we do a poor job communicating that to you guys, but I can promise you, we struggle here, and we have cut vendors. We have cut vendors because of the poor quality. Mm-hmm. They may meet the standards, but their quality wasn't. It was trashy, or germ didn't hold, or vigor wasn't there. We cut them, we move on. We, by no means, price is not, from our standpoint, price is not an indication where we're going to buy from. We can look at quality, number one. And for the most part, and there's always an exception to the rule out there, for the open pollinated and heirloom seeds out there's always huge problems with that industry out there. We have one vendor that's doing a pretty good job on that right there. And we're actually contract growing with a couple now. That's we're doing that. Will it have the array of tests and everything some of your seeds do? No, it won't. Yeah. But it is stepping up a little bit from what the main says, some of these cheap OP seeds.
And you're seeing that. I'm seeing now more and more for that market, for the open pollinated and or early market, that contract production is sort of, I think, the way this is moving and should move into the future. Sure. So that there's more control because there are less regulations.
Right. Huge difference in the quality of the seeds you get, and the price reflects that. And we're never going to, here at Hoss, we're never going to go with the cheap seed. It's just not in our business model.
No.
I mean, we look at the quality first, and then we just move it into the price point.
Get what you pay for, you're saving in the end.
And at the end of the day, if you paid $3 extra for a seed pack, and you grew some great quality plants that were disease resistant, virus resistant, $3-4, man, well worth it.
Can't buy coffee for that.
So anyhow, I hope we enlighten that a little bit. If you have any more questions, put it in the comments below, and we will do our best to try to answer this for you. I miss knife of the week. So this is something we started doing a few weeks ago.
Knife of the week?
Blade of the week. So I love knives. So therefore, I feel like I should share this with everybody. This one this week is from a custom maker, and I don't have a lot of custom knives. This is from custom maker down in Florida, Dunn Knives, D-U-N-N, and they make really skinny knives or hunting knives, but this is a nice little knife.
That's pretty.
Really nice sheath there. Dunn Knives, if you're interested in a little custom-made knives, they're not as expensive as some of them could be. But
it's
everybody's got their thing. Mine's knives.
Yours is knives. I like Opinel knives.
Oh, I do too. Yeah. I got some of those.
This is really nice.
I should do one of them for Knife of the Week next week.
I have quite a few you can show. Yeah, this is really nice.
Yep.
Very pretty.
All right. So we've got to get to Garden Spotlight of the Week. I want to show you this right here. Of course, I mentioned onions has been my thing. So this Garden Spotlight right here is Tina Jerger, and she's in Zone 8. And she's growing a load of Hoss onions, radishes, several lettuces, spinach, cabbage, cilantro, garlic, celery, and just planted a few tomatoes. But look at her onions there.
She's planting the hard stuff too.
She is. You know what? When people figure out how to grow onions, their confidence level just goes up. But you talk about something tricky. Now, onions are the tricky thing. We're doing a good job with that. But onions has got to be done right. If you do them right, you can get loads of harvest off of them. All right. Thank you. That's Tina. Tina. And her garden right there. Raised beds, pretty cool.
That's nice.
All right, so the old goat, folks, all the set is an old goat figurine somewhere. If you find the old goat, put in the comments below where the location is, and we'll do a drawing next week for this week's winner, and I'll let you draw for last week's winner. Last week's winner for the old goat is Diane Harris. Diane, send us your information to support@growhoss.com, and we will send you. We're about out of, we just had to order more socks. Why don't you look at these right here, the Get Dirty Socks. These are coveted by everybody across the country.
Even I don't have a pair.
But you should get a pair of these Get Dirty Socks. So we'll send you, send us your information. We'll get a pair of these nice Get Dirty Socks out to you. I hope everybody enjoyed the show. It's wonderful. Great to have you, Tracy.
Great to be
you
back.
Could just talk for hours on end about seeds and everything, the industry in general. Keep in mind, there is a difference in a lot of these seeds here, a lot of different terminology, and we didn't even cover them all.
No, we did not.
We just scratched the surface there. So thank you for joining us. It's springtime. Get out there and enjoy the weather, and get those hands and feet dirty. Thank you for joining us.